Praise God. Welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and you have tuned in today to a show that is all about encouragement, empowerment, and enlightenment. So we pray today that something good happens for you from listening to this show, whether you're encouraged, whether you learn something new, whether you're just more excited about God and the things that He is doing, then whatever that is, then, we pray that God's will be done on today. But we definitely want to encourage your hearts and, just cause you to hang on just a little bit longer. Let us go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. Thank you, God, for how you've already watched over us and you've kept us, Lord. And we pray now, God, that you just move by your Spirit on today, O Lord. Send your word for your people on today, O Lord. Let your word come forth with clarity and understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, that someone be healed, delivered, and set free on today. We pray now, God, that someone be encouraged, just encourage their hearts, God, and lift up their heads on today, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of these blessings, and we thank you in advance by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So on today, our topic is God your CEO? Now, because this is a talk show, we do want to hear from you. And that number to call in to chat on today is 888-627-6008. Again, the number to call in to chat is 888-627-6008. So the topic again is God your CEO? Now, we know that a CEO in the natural realm is a person who is your chief executive officer. Is God really the person who is leading your life? Is God really the person who is in charge? Or is your job in charge of your life? Well, what do you mean by that, Prophetess Campbell? If you have to work on Sundays, does that just determine that there will be no word for you that day? Does it just determine that, oh, well, until my schedule changes, I just can't go to church? Is God really in charge? Is your spouse in charge? Is your significant other in charge? Or maybe your children are in charge of your life. Whatever it is, we want to make sure that God is actually the one who is leading and guiding us in all things, in everything that we say, everything that we do, in all of the decisions that we make. We want to make sure that God is truly the head of our lives. A lot of times we get up in church and that is our testimony. And we say, oh, I thank God for being the head of my life. But we want to make sure that He truly is. And it's not just something that we've learned to say, because oftentimes we get up and we say a whole lot of things, but it may not necessarily be true. So if He's not already the head of your life, we want to talk about some ways to ensure that God is the one who is leading you and guiding you in everything that you do. So in a corporation, the CEO is a person who is fully in charge. So we're going to do a comparison of the natural role of a CEO versus where we truly are and letting God lead and guide us and being the CEO in our lives. So we do have a special guest before we jump directly into our topic. I want to introduce to some and present to others by high demand. This pastor has been asked to come back and join us on several occasions. This is our guest for today, Pastor Nicholas Glenn, who is the pastor of Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Hickman, Kentucky. Pastor Glenn, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today.
Oh, it's no problem at all. I'm so glad you're here. We've had several requests, and I tried to keep it on the hush-hush who the guest was going to be today so that our listeners could be surprised. But, I guess I have had some very special guests, so it seems like, when you come on, though, people are always saying, okay, now when are you going to have Pastor Nick back? Or, so welcome back. I appreciate you being here and sharing with us on today. So, Pastor Glenn, the question that we're asking is God your CEO to our guests? Go ahead. You want to enlighten us in that area?
Well, the first thing that jumps out to me is God your CEO? And for someone to have an understanding of exactly what that means.
Absolutely.
Because the baseline that some individuals have is, whether we want to admit it or not, we don't always want to fall in line with authority and do what we've been instructed to do. And that becomes a big issue for some individuals. So with God being a CEO, you know, if you apply it to the business standpoint of it, is you don't have to always like every decision. You don't have to agree with every decision. But that's the decision is just that. And that's how we have to go with God.
That's right. And oftentimes, that's the way it is in households, you know, with children nowadays, you know, versus when we were raised, you know, when we were coming up, if your parents told you something, that's just what it was. Things are a little bit different nowadays. You know, kids ask why and how and I don't want to do, and they all have an opinion, you know, but even in our bringing up our children, you know, in this day and time, things are a little bit different. So as you said, we definitely have to make sure that we are submitted to the authority that is before us, and submitting to God is first and foremost. Amen. So I definitely agree with you there. So one of the things that we'll talk about is that a CEO leads from the top. A CEO knows their business. One thing, first and foremost, that jumps out at me is from Hebrews 4 and 15, is that we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand our weaknesses. Since Jesus had the same temptations, but he didn't fall into sin. So just like the natural CEO, he knows what he's doing and he can fully and totally relate. Because sometimes, you know, people are quick to say, oh, well, you don't understand what I'm going through, or you don't know how I feel. You know what? I may not. But God knows.
Yeah.
God knows everything. And so because he has already walked this earth ahead of us, gone through the same temptations and didn't fall into sin, he showed us the way. He showed us that we don't have to fall into sin. He showed us that he knows what he's talking about, you know, and with some people in the natural world with business, you know, a lot of times we don't want to give them respect because we think that they don't know what they're talking about, because we don't know their history or we don't know their resume. But in our relationship with God, Pastor Nick, we already know that he does understand. So we can't use that excuse. That alleviates that one, does it not?
Yeah, we can throw it out, because when you look at, you know, the real natural alive CEO, we want to take that resume out. We want to see the track record. We want to know what have they done at other places that got them to where they are now. Well, God has already laid it out there for us.
That's right.
With the process of what he's done in the past, what he continues to do. And every time we question that, what we're saying to ourselves, what we're saying to people around us is that, well, we really don't have the level of trust that we claim that we do have. And I'm glad you mentioned earlier with, you know, how we jump up in church and say, to God, who's the head of my life. But do we really think about that statement when we make it? You know, or is it just something to make to try to convince everybody else that we're actually on a different level than we're really on?
Because it sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds good to say, well, you know, God is the head of my life.
Yeah, trained to say it, and so many other things, you know, in church, you know, unfortunately, we get trained to say and do, not having a good understanding of why we do it, and then the next generation comes up behind us, and that goes to your piece of raising and growing up in a household, not asking questions, and then you have a group that says, well, why do we do that? And once you can't answer that question, now you have a problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, as we stated before, it is just a matter of being obedient. It doesn't make sense that sometimes we can't just follow directions. We can't just follow instructions. So it's a really big deal to know that, okay, the person who is leading and guiding me truly is Christ. You know, not my feelings, not my emotions, not what I heard, not some quote by some famous author, not someone who wrote a book, but in knowing that Christ is truly the head of my life. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So the second thing then.
Indeed.
Oh, go ahead, Pastor Nick.
No, go ahead. I said, yes, indeed.
Amen. Well, the next thing is a CEO leads the development of the company's strategy. And in this case, the CEO leads the development of our purpose. You know, it is one thing for us to just walk around in life oblivious. But when you're walking around in purpose and on purpose, that means everything, because life is too short. So the one thing that you want to be doing is whatever it is that God has called you to do, or walking around in the will of God. And we know that we don't have to worry about this development, because the scripture lets us know, for those who have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans 8. turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is a popular scripture. It is a song that is the basis for the music that I have playing before my show. And some people might wonder, well, why that song? That song is an encouragement to me, because the songwriter says all things are working for my good because God is intentional. Mm-hmm. So if you go with me, for those that have your Bibles, to Romans 8:28. And the scripture says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. So when we know, you know, that God has called us and put us here on earth for a reason, not just to float around and live and breathe and die, that's not what we're here for. But God has called mm-hmm. us for a purpose. And we have to know that whatever that plan is, that strategy that he's put together for us, he's developing us in it. He is making us stronger in it. He has given us more faith in it. Whatever it is, whatever area that God would have for you to work in, he's definitely going to build you up for that journey and for that process so that you can get to where he wants you to be and you're able to actually do what it is that you're called to do. He ain't gonna just tell you to do something and not prepare you for it. So I appreciate God that all of those things that lead up to me fulfilling his call for my life are things that he's developing me and working in me on as I go. Not I got it all together and then I go, because we don't have it all together. But as God is getting me ready, I can go ahead and be obedient to him and do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And he continues to build me where I'm torn down. He continues to strengthen me for this journey. He continues to give me what to say and show me what to do as I go and as I move in him in faith. Because I know, again, that all things are working together for my good. Amen, Pastor Nick.
Amen, because in all things is where it gets difficult right there for some individuals. I know it's difficult for me. Is that mm-hmm. process of all things, because I can be described and qualified as someone that has an attention to detail, right? And that typically means I don't like being late. I don't like things going off time. I like staying on the schedule. Mm-hmm. And something that freed me in my life a little while ago was when I would get ready to go somewhere and I'm late sitting at a traffic light or traffic is holding me up and mm-hmm. start remembering, you know what, all things. Mm-hmm. And celebrating God for it. But thank you, God, for allowing me to understand that I'm going through this right now. Mm-hmm. And the stress that I would feel about being late and getting overwhelmed and all that. And that started going away, because mm-hmm. in the midst of what I did not appreciate, I was mm-hmm. still able to thank God for all things working for me. All
that's
working
right.
together. And that's the
right.
key to it, all things. Even like I said earlier, what we don't like, what we don't agree mm-hmm. with, we won't always agree with the decision that the CEO makes. But you mm-hmm. know what? We still want to keep our job, and we still show up to work every day.
That's right. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned the part about even the things that you don't like at the time, or even the things that you don't feel like having to deal with mm-hmm. sometimes, like traffic and, you know, people getting on your nerves or people driving crazy or that person almost ran you off the road. Sometimes you don't feel like it, but all things are working for our good. So whether that's the good things, whether that's the bad things, whether that's the things that make us sad, whether that's the things that make us uncomfortable, whether that's grief or whatever it is, all of those things are working together for our good, because we love God and we are the called according to his purpose. And that's the thing about being the CEO. He's the one who decided the purpose. Mm-hmm. We didn't decide our purpose. He decided our purpose. And again, as we go along and doing the things that we're supposed to do, then he develops us in that. So we can't be upset anymore about being stuck in traffic. We can't be upset anymore about having to deal with our children being disobedient. We can't be upset anymore when our spouses or our loved ones don't act the way that we think they should act or do some of the things mm-hmm. that we think they ought to be doing, because clearly all of those things are still working together toward what it is that God wants me to be doing. So I just appreciate him for that. So listen, if you want to call in, this is a good time. You want to call in, share your testimony, talk about the subject matter. That number is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. So moving on to our next point in regard to the CEO, when the CEO gives you the vision, he will also give you the provision. That's one of the things that I love about the Lord, is that he never just puts us out there and says, okay, now go and do it. If you will go with me, for those that have your Bibles, to Philippians 4:19. And this, again, is a popular scripture. It's one that we quote often. Philippians 4:19.
Amen.
And if you're there, the Bible reads, and my God will liberally supply, which means fill until full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I know if you're reading from the King James Version, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs. But I'm reading from the Amplified Bible on this afternoon. The Bible says that God will fully supply everything that you need according to his riches. So not according to your bank account, not according to what you think that you need to do to get your business rolling, not according to you running around handing out business cards and putting out flyers on trees and everybody's windshield. But God, whatever vision he gave you, he will also supply the provision. And that's how you know that it's from God, because usually God will tell you to do something and you know you can't do it, and he knows you can't do it, but you have to fully rely and trust him, as you mentioned a moment ago, to be the CEO, to do what he said he's going to do, to fulfill his promises. He's not just going to give you the vision, but he's also going to give you the provision and supply all of your needs, whatever it is that you need, not just the money for it, but the know-how, or give you the right connections. And we're also going to talk about that in a little while also. But that's the wonderful thing about him being the CEO. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is follow instructions. He gave you the vision. He'll also give you the provision. Speak to that, Pastor Nick.
And with that, a good leader, a great leader, does not set their followers up to fail.
That's
because ultimately, it reflects back on them as a leader. So that the CEO who has the charge of making a decision that's based on what's good for everyone, what's good for the whole company, not just one particular individual.
And again,
we may not always understand it, but they have to have everybody's best interest at heart. And if they make bad decisions and put people in positions to fail, then eventually you look back at them and say, okay, we need to reevaluate who's
running this.
And with God, what he set up us for is he says, hey, you can look back at me because I'm accountable for it. But guess what? I'm only going to set you up to be successful.
Yes.
And if you do take a left turn or a right turn or the road gets a little wavy, that's okay, because I'm going to bring you right back around to where you should have never left in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
Because
he's
already told us that he will take care of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. It is a huge reflection on the leader, on the CEO. It would be a huge reflection on God if we go out there and look bad. So he's not going to let us look bad if we're representing him. He's going to tell us the right things to do for the entire organization, for his body, which is the church. Amen. I appreciate that, Pastor Nick, because, you know, sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we be like, well, Lord, how did you just, you know, allow this thing to happen to me? But it's all about his glory. It's all about his glory. And in the end, it'll make more sense to us. You know, the old people used to say, by and by, we'll better understand, by and by. You know, and the truth is that as I get older and as I continue to grow in the Lord, I can look back now at some of the things that I went through and say, oh, okay, now I do see how this happened. I do see, you know, how it is that I went through that. Some things may have been my fault. And some things may have been just about God getting the glory from the situation that I was in. Now this next point.
And if we really take a look at it, some of our frustration that comes from that is because we get mad at God when we think that we failed or he's let us down.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from a position of us jumping before we should jump, us moving outside of what he has told us to do. And then we say, okay, it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
But God can look right back at us and say, well, I didn't tell you to do that the way you did it.
That's right.
We have to do what he tells us to do the way he says do it.
That's right.
And when we fall in line with that, then that unlocks the supply of the needs that we have according to his riches.
That's right. That's right. And you know, that's one thing for sure. Sometimes he'll tell us to do something, you know, like he'll say, bring your tithes to the storehouse, for instance, you know, and, and we want to give another amount. But that's not what he said. He said, if you do what I told you to do, then I'm going to make sure that you have everything that you need and there will be meat in his house. And he would bless us in that, because we want the other 90% blessed. That's for sure. But sometimes we try to deviate from that and do things our own way. And that's not what God said. And if you're not going to do it right with a cheerful heart, just using tithing again, for instance, the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. So if you're going to give grudgingly, you may as well keep it, because he's not going to bless you in that. Amen. Amen. So the next thing, again, then, as a CEO, there is power and authority in his name. One of the things that I love about the Lord is I know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I know that according to John 14 and 13, that we can ask anything in his name. And he said that he will do it. I know that according to Ephesians, the first chapter, those who have your Bible, go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. If you all are there, again, that's Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, I'm going to start reading around the 19th verse. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active and spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and this world, but also in the world to come. There is no power or authority that's greater than the name of Jesus in this earth. The Bible says even in angelic places, human or anything else. So there is nothing that anybody can do to come against the name of Jesus. That's why we have to use the authority that is in his name. When we pray in his name. Yeah. When we're dealing with things, a lot of times we can't say anything except to call on the name of Jesus. Sometimes you have gone through some types of sickness or pain or any type of discomfort or, again, grief. And we have to stop and just call on the name of Jesus when we don't know what else to say or what else to do. Just like with the natural CEO, sometimes when people are in a corporation and you can tell me, well, this person said do it and they may be my peer. Or you can tell me that this person said do it and they may be somebody that works in another department. Oh, but if you come back and say the name of the authority said that you need to do such and such, then that's when you can get some people to move. And so that's what we have to remember in our relationship with the Lord. If the Lord tells us to do something, if the Lord shows us to do something, then we have to move in his name and go forth and be obedient, because the authority has spoken. Amen, Pastor Nick.
Amen. Because in other situations in our life, in our physical life, when we go somewhere and things don't go the way that we want them to go, we'll start trying to name drop, right?
Oh, yeah.
People that individual knows. Or if, you know, if we may know the manager, or we may know the boss, and we say, well, you know, I'm good friends with Dustin. So in an attempt to get that individual to, you know, to show us leniency, or even with the police officer, they may pull us over and they may write us a ticket and say, hey, what do you know Sergeant such and such? That's my cousin. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get favor by using a name that they may recognize, and not only recognize, but associate power and authority with. Well, that same approach we should take when it comes to difficult times in our lives or anything with the name of Jesus. Because that name is the one that can unlock anything that's in front of us.
That's right.
Because nothing has more power or authority over the name of Jesus.
That's right.
So we hold ourselves hostage by not using the name the way we should.
That's right. That's right. And we have to learn to use his name, like you said, because there is no other power or authority that's greater than the name of Jesus. We have to learn to use his name more often. We have to learn that when the enemy comes up against us, we can call on the name of Jesus. That if we're not feeling well in our bodies, we can call on the name of Jesus. That if we're up against any obstacle or wall or mountain, hurdle, whatever it is, we can call on the name of Jesus. When the enemy is just attacking us, we can call on the name of Jesus. And the enemy has to flee, has to leave us alone because of the authority that is in his name. I appreciate God for that on today.
Callers,
go right ahead.
He has to. And I can attest to several times in my life where there's been chaotic situations going on or illness going on, and I will call on the name of Jesus. And
yes,
I can't say to anybody that right there at that second that whatever the problem was ended on the spot, because sometimes it didn't. But every single time, I got a sense of peace that says, you know
That's
what?
Right.
You can make it through this. You
know
That's
what?
Right. I'm here with you. You will
That's
overcome
right.
this.
Just That's
keep
right.
on pressing. Keep on working. In the name of Jesus, allow
yes.
us to have the resolve that says, Lord, I'm tired, I'm down, I'm out, I'm upset, I'm depressed.
Yes.
But in the name of Jesus, I will keep going
That's
until
right.
I get to the end.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Amen. Now, the other thing about the CEO is that he ensures that the company is properly staffed. He ensures that he has the right people
oh
in
my.
The right places at the right time.
Oh
Amen.
My.
We have some divine connections. Go ahead. Speak to that, Pastor Nick.
Yeah, and that's a thing that my fellowship and the leadership over at Pleasant Hill and other groups and organizations that I'm a part of hear me mention often. You know, it does no good to have one person that can show up and do everything. You have to have a staff in place.
That's right.
That can roll even if
that's
somebody
right.
else doesn't show up.
That's right.
And that's the thing that I feel is a problem that we have from time to time in churches, and that we monopolize who is in what position and how long they're there and what they've been doing. Don't allow anybody else to get trained or grow into that position. And then when that other person leaves for whatever
right.
reason it may be now, you have individuals that don't know what they're doing. And
that's
a leadership
right.
structure that's set up in that way, that's to be a red flag to anybody. If you're working for a company and you
yes.
have a CEO that does it all, well, you know, the CEO shouldn't do it all. he should have a staff that
that's
can help
right.
out in that process. If you are attending a church where the pastor has to do everything,
that's
there
right.
is something wrong in that structure. There should be
that's
some
right.
other people in place that
that's
helps
right.
out in that process.
That's right.
Because a good CEO, a good leader, you know,
yes.
it's not just running the show. They have to make those tough decisions, but it's also identifying and placing the proper people in the right position so that they can
That's
be
right.
successful.
That's right. And when everyone is in order, things flow well. He gives us these divine connections because you may be good at one thing and somebody else is good at another thing. You may speak well. Somebody else may sing well. Somebody else may be a great MC. Somebody else may just be good with the money and keeping the accounting together. We don't all have the same job, and that's why the Bible says that we have many members but one body. So I thank God because it means I don't have to do everything. There are some people with some gifts. We just have to let people use their gifts. And as you said, sometimes in the church, you know, it gets a little scary because we don't always do that. We don't always... allow people to use their gifts. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 16, you don't have to come to church and hand out your spiritual resume and tell everybody who you are. They should know who you are in the spirit, because Proverbs 18 and 16 says a man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him
yes,
before great men. So all you have to do is just be obedient to God and go on into that body of believers. And sure enough, you know, a program is coming up. Well, hey, you know, such and such, can you help with the program? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I sing. Well, so-and-so, you know, can you help with the program? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I'll lead us in prayer, you know. And there it is. You have a body of believers who are all gifted and heading in the same direction. Your gift made room for you. You didn't have to go in and try to tell everybody who you are and run around town trying to hand out your own separate flyers and doing your own thing. But within that body of believers, your gifts can be utilized. And I thank God because, again, he's developing us in that. And because he's the CEO and he sees the gifts and talents that are in each one of us because he placed them there. He put us all together for a reason. He put us in the bodies that we're in. He put us in the families that we're in. You know, you think about it, you know, having children, you know, is far more than a boy or a girl being birthed. But this is a group of individuals born into the same bloodline who can work together on different things, who can help each other. You know, it's a really sad case, even when you have natural families who don't get along to the point where they don't talk and they don't do things together. Because if you bring all of those people together, you know, a family reunion, for instance, you got one person over here who's great at grilling, you know, so he's over here on the grill. Somebody else is great over here with frying fish. You know, somebody else is over here on the fries and organizing things. Somebody else is back here getting the children organized and playing games with the kids. Even in a family reunion, everything works together as a well-oiled machine if everybody just does the things that they're good at doing. Somebody else may just be behind the scenes, and they were the person that did the booking, or they were the person that, you know, did all the hotel flights and reservations and things of that nature. But even in a natural family, if we work together with the gifts that we have and bring all of those things together, it's a well-oiled machine, and the company flows more smoothly, or the family flows more smoothly when everybody plays a part and does their part according to the gifts that the CEO has already pointed out and said, okay, such and such, you've got this, let's work together. But now what happens a lot of times is that we want to hold back our gifts because we want some recognition. Well, if ain't nobody gonna say nothing about it, then I'm not gonna set up all the t-shirts, or I'm not gonna do the grilling or whatever, because you need somebody to pat you on the back and say something to you. Your gift will make room for you. Just do what you're supposed to do. Do what it is that you're gifted to do, and the gift will make room for you. It happens in the church as well. You know, a lot of times people be like, well, I'm not gonna sing because I'm not in the choir. You don't have to be in the choir to sing. Just sing. Just sing. Sing right there where you are. Just sing. I ain't on the praise and worship team, so, you know, or such and such is doing praise today, so I'm going to just sit back here. I'm not going to participate in this or that. Come on, God's people. Come on, saints. We have got to do better than that. Your gifts will make room for you, but that person's gifts has made room for them. It may not be your turn or your time, but that person may be up right now because it's their turn and their time, but there will come a time where you can actually utilize your gifts. A lot of times people do a whole lot of things behind the scene in churches. It may just be the person in the prayer room. Nobody may not even know who does all the praying when somebody calls in and has a need, but it gets done. It gets taken care of. And then after a while, that person can come to the forefront and they may be praying in the service. Whatever that situation is, and I don't know why the Lord just had me to pause right there. Whatever it is that you're gifted in, the Lord will allow you to use your gift. He gave it to you for a reason, but don't hold back your gift because you're looking for recognition. Yeah. Amen. Pastor Nick, you want to say any more to that?
Yes, because that's so important, because I know that something that blesses me every time I go to church on Sunday, Wednesday, the program is coming up, and everyone knows that I'm coming up for that day. Then when I walk up to the door that I use to enter into the church, and I don't have to pull out my key to unlock it.
All right.
You know, that's something very small, right? But I may have something in my hand. I may have items that I'm juggling. But it says to me, okay, it's prepared. Come on in.
That's
When you walk in the wintertime and the heat's already going. Walk in the summertime, the AC is already blowing. It's been set up and ready to go. That blesses me. And as a leader, that says, you know what? I want to give back even more now. Because I'm getting poured into, so I can keep pouring. And I can think back to a time where I was visiting with a young athlete a little while ago who was complaining about not starting, not getting playing time that thought they should get. And he was very frustrated and upset, and he came to me in the process, and I asked him what the problem was. He said, well, I really think I need to be playing more. I need to get out there and get more minutes.
All right.
And I looked right back at him and said, well, man, that's your fault. He said, well, how is it my fault? The coach doesn't put me in. The coach makes that decision. I said, no, you don't understand. See, your job is to be so efficient and perform so well in practice
that
when you get to the game, the coach can't help but to put you in.
That's right.
You have to make it obvious that you need to be out there because you make a difference.
That's right.
And so you should never have to complain about, I'm not playing enough. If you do, you're not doing what you should do. And the same way it goes in churches. And I've heard, several people have heard before, that someone may, you know, go to the pastor or go to other leadership and say, well, I don't feel like I'm being used like I need to at this church, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, the reality of it is your gift will make room for you. So if that is, and sometimes we misdiagnose our gifts. We think that just because we want this to be our gift, that that's our particular gift. And so since we want our gift to be expressed in that way because we've isolated that to be our gift, when we don't get to do that, we get frustrated from time to time. Mm-hmm. But if we allow God to bring it out of us, then he will put us in position to where our gifting will become obvious. And before we realize it, we'll be everywhere doing everything that we think we want to do and then some. But for the individuals they get stuck on, well, you know, I'm not getting to do what I want to do. You know, and they hear me saying myself, that's a red flag. When you're walking around in church saying, I'm not being used, I'm not being utilized, well, then that's on you. You need to say, well, God, I thought this was my gift. Well, evidently it's not, or it's not my time. So until then, what do I need to do until I get there? And what we struggle at within churches sometimes is individuals not being willing to work somewhere else until it's time for them to get where they think they want to be. And then that's even when they get to where they think they want to be, they realize, oh, this wasn't what I thought it was. And then the commitment level isn't what it should be. But it goes back to the expression of the gifts.
Absolutely. That football analogy was on point. We're getting some comments in regarding the show, and they want you to know that your football analogy was on point. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the same thing for churches, you know, for those who can't relate to sports, a lot of times, you know, you hear it in church. And again, it's unfortunate, but you may hear people say, well, they always let Sister So-and-so pray, or they always let Sister So-and-so sing. But see, what you don't realize is why you just show up on Sundays, Sister So-and-so is there for Tuesday night Bible study. She's there for Friday night services. She's there on the weekend when the church needs to be cleaned up, and somebody just happened to hear her singing while she was cleaning them toilets, or somebody just happened to hear her praying while she was in there in prayer meeting. So like you said, you have to make it clear that you want to be a part of the team, whether it's football, whether it's your job. You know, sometimes people sit back even on jobs and say, well, they always let so-and-so stand out front and do this and that. But maybe such and such, maybe that person is executing and you're sitting back talking about everybody. Because quite clearly, quite frankly, nobody wants to deal with somebody who has a bad attitude in the first place. Is that not right, Pastor Nick?
That's right on point, because when you get to a certain point and the level of success, you know, you're put up with individuals that can help you continue to be successful. People will do that. But you tend not to want to put up with somebody that has a negative disposition and they don't help you be successful.
You know, that's
those two things don't go together.
You're not going
to
do both.
So the individual that usually feels like they're left out, they need to do some work on the inside. We need to look at ourselves and say, about me? About me is causing other people not to want to reach out to me and have me involved in this?
That's right.
You know, am I not? What can I do to show that, you know what, I want to be a part of the team, so whatever that is, all I want to do is win. So if that means today I do this role, tomorrow I do another role, then I'm good with that. And that's a problem that we run into, and individuals don't know how to deal with. And they express it sometimes in negative ways. And the way that they say it is, I don't feel like I'm being used. But what they're trying to articulate is, you know, I'm trying to find where I fit in. Somebody help me figure it out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. And I see that we do have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you? Who do we have on the line today?
This is Mr. Glenn, Johnny Glenn from Chicago, and I'm sitting here and just enjoying you and Pastor Nick on your wonderful service this morning. Y'all talking so wonderful. I'm just enjoying it this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We appreciate you calling in and being an encouragement to us. One thing that we definitely want to do is be pleasing to God and be an encouragement to God's people. So we appreciate you letting us know on today. Did you have any other comments or a testimony you may want to give?
No, I'm just enjoying it. And you all just sitting there talking and listening to Pastor Nick. I first time I heard it.
Okay.
And he's really good. And he's really good, and you're good. You know, just I'm just saying. I always say, just stay prayed up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you all were talking about the gift, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the gift. And I say, if we just ask God to help us with our gift, because mm-hmm. he knows our gift. And he will make everybody with the same gift. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so if we just stay in our lane and don't try to get into the wrong gift, a lot of times we get into the wrong gift. And when we get into the wrong gift, it doesn't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just stay in our lane and stay into the right gift, the one that God has given us, and humble and honor, you get to just get God to honor. Let's honor him and mm-hmm. humble ourselves.
Yes.
That's right.
And just keep on doing what we have to do.
That's right.
But one
thing
I want to say, and all spiritual blessings, the source of all blessings is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the means by which they are given is the cross.
That's right.
But there's a good option and a bad option.
Mm-hmm.
The option of your faith, it must be Christ number one,
mm-hmm.
cross number two. And if we do that, we'll be surely blessed. Okay?
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Me, I thank you. I'm listening to the show. It's a wonderful show. And I tell Pastor Nix I'm enjoying him. Just keep up the good work. Okay?
Amen.
Thank you for the
Amen.
Kind words.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, then. Thank you.
Uh-huh. God bless you. Amen. We appreciate all of our callers. If you would like to call in and make a comment as well, that number to call in is 888-627-6008. We know, as the caller said, Mr. Glenn said that, you know, we all have a cross to bear. And because if we keep God first, you know, sometimes we do have to deal with some things. But, you know, I'm thankful that although Jesus was crucified, you know, we're going into resurrection season. Although he was crucified, he got up. And that's what we all have to remember to do. We have to get up. You know, sometimes we do make mistakes and we do have some issues here and there and things come up with us. However, we have to make sure that we get up from that place. You know, you may not have been utilizing your gifts properly. You may have been utilizing your gifts for money or fame and fortune and not for the glory of God. But at this stage, at this phase, you still have time to turn around and get up. Amen, Pastor Nick.
Amen, because you know, we don't have to read the Bible to know that he died. History books
That's
tell
right.
us that he died.
Right?
But the key
right.
is that he got up with all
yes.
power in his hands
yes.
so that we can live a life worth living.
That's right. That's right. I just appreciate the Lord on this morning. Now I want to move forward, and we may not be able to cover all of the information today regarding the CEO, but I can make it available on the website, and we may touch on it again on another show. But the other thing about the CEO that I appreciate is that he ensures expenditures of the corporation are within the authorized budget. Now let me clarify that. He ensures that the expenditures of the company are within the authorized budget. So if you're going to turn with me in your Bibles, go to Haggai, the first chapter. I'll give you all a minute to find it. It's in the Old Testament, back in some of the smaller books. But go with me to Haggai. We're going to go to the first chapter. Some people pronounce it Haggai, but that's just extra pronunciation unnecessarily. So it's Haggai 1 is where we need to go this morning. Amen. And we're just kind of doing a walk through the Bible, because the one thing I want to do is make sure that people know that I am not on the air, and the purpose of this show is not just to do some cute little quotes, but I need it to be understood that although it's a talk show, it's a Christian talk show, and so we are all about the Word of God. Every person that Amen. I bring on the show is all about the Word of God. These are people who are truly living for the Lord and understand the Word of God and want to share, you know. And even when you all, you know, call in, my callers call in, I understand that you all are people who have a heart for God and for God's Word. So I appreciate you all hanging in there with me and staying on the line. Sometimes, you know, here and there we may have some technical difficulties, may have a little, you know, noise in the background, different things going on. But I understand that the reason that you're calling in is because you appreciate God and you want to learn or grow or just be able to communicate with others, you know, regarding the word of God. Sometimes we don't have enough Christian friends and we feel heavy and don't know why. It's because we've surrounded ourselves sometimes with the wrong things. But if we keep our focus on God and all the things that we do, I know on Saturday afternoon, everybody has other things to do. I get it. And I appreciate you all calling in just to share with me on today. So hopefully you have Haggai 1 in your Bibles. And I'm going to read from the King James Version this time, just because I know that the majority do have King James. Starting at the 5th verse. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, first and foremost, we need to understand what this means. You know, this particular scripture is talking about materialism and how we're just never content with what we have. And so the one thing about the CEO is he makes sure that we're not spending on the wrong things. Our focus is not on the wrong things. Are we bringing our tithes to the storehouse? Are we building up the kingdom of God? Are we doing what we can do in and for the body of Christ? Are we doing what we're supposed to do for God's people? That's vital. That's important for us as Christians. Yes. So as far as our money, he tells us what to do with our money so that we don't end up just throwing our money into a bag with holes. It's just like with the stock market, for instance, some years ago. People have put their faith in the stock market and have a problem with putting their money in church because they're so worried about what the pastor is going to do with it. That's not for you to worry about. And usually he doesn't touch the money. Some of them other folks behind the scenes that may have done some things with the money, you know, but we have the wrong concept and we have the wrong mindset. Do we not, Pastor Nick, regarding this money in church?
You are. And people will use that as an excuse even to not attend church because they don't want to fund the pastor's extravagant lifestyle is what they typically say. But in the reality of it is, it's like you said, you know, it goes back to the structure of the CEO. The correct staff put in place, the correct
That's
leadership
right.
in place, then that removes those different worries that individuals may have. And the better
That's
the leadership structure is, the more transparency that you have. And then as the vision is cast out, people can grab a hold to it and say, you know what,
I see this
is good ground. And even though I don't see the vision fully as everybody else may see it, as leadership may see it, I trust God enough to say, Lord, I'm giving this to you.
That's
because
right.
you told me to do it.
That's
and
right.
If somebody else misuses it, that's on them. You will take
that's
care
right.
of them. I'm going
that's
to
right.
do what you told me to do.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. And sometimes, like you said, that is where we get off. We get off because we're so busy worrying about the other people and who's in the church doing what. But none of us say that when we go out to a clothing store. And we spend money in Michael Kors or say in the Coach store or, you know, when we're out at Ross shopping or at Sam's or wherever we go, nobody says, I hope they're not using this money for the wrong things. You know, nobody ever feels that way. It's usually in the church, you know, when we start worrying about it. But if we do what God says to do with our money, then we won't have that issue in the first place. Amen.
Amen. We'll even go to a store and have the mentality that says, hey, I will buy American-made products. And we go to the store and look for the product with the made in America tag on the inside of it. Well, some of those, some clothing has a portion made in America. If you read the other tag, it says it's made somewhere else. Well, you don't see too many individuals saying, well, you know what, I want to support Made with America, so I'm not going to get this. I'm going to stop going to this store. But people will use it as an excuse to say that this happens to me at this church, or someone that has no leadership position did this to me at this church, or this or leadership hurt my feelings at this church. And then in an attempt to punish God, we say, well, I'm going to do this. Well, the actual answer, we punish ourselves.
That's right.
Because when we tie it all together and say, well, God, you are the head of everything that I'm going through. Well,
I'm going
through something difficult right now. Lord, what is it? Will you reveal it to me? Will you show it to me? How can I dig deeper into your word to understand why I'm going through this process? Because you've already told me that since I'm going through it, something good is going to come out of it.
That's right.
Now, Lord, I'm asking you to tap into my patience and help me hold on until I get to where you want me to get to. And when I get there, I will give you the glory and all the praise because now I realize that you didn't tell me a lie.
That's right. That's right. And because he can't lie. what he told us was true in the first place. We just had to get it together.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word, Pastor Nick. We appreciate that on today. So callers, again, if you want to call in to comment, we do have a little bit more time left. That number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. The other thing that a CEO does is he assesses the principal risk of the company and ensures that these risks are being monitored and managed. You know, it's only so much that the Lord will allow the enemy to do unto us, and I appreciate that. You know, just like with Job, he said, okay, all right, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't touch his life. Amen. So I appreciate God, because in that, Job learned patience. But what Job learned the most in the 42nd chapter is that if God does allow you to go through some things, he already knew the risk, because he knows you.
Yeah.
He knew what you would do and what you wouldn't do. He knew how you would act and how you wouldn't act. He knew what temptations that you would fall to. So God gave the enemy some limits. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can go ahead and tempt Job. Job is not going to fail me. You can't take his life. But in the end, God gave him double for his trouble. So I appreciate the Lord putting some limits on the enemy. Because although you think you may be dealing with a whole lot right now, the Lord is not going to put more on you than you can bear. He won't allow you to go through more than you can bear. But in these processes, what he's doing is developing you for the work that he has ahead of you. He's developing you for your call. He's developing you for your purpose. Because he does have something for each of us to do. Some of it may be behind the scenes. Some of it may be at the forefront. But the CEO knows exactly who to put out where and when to make all of this work well together. Amen.
Amen.
We just appreciate the Lord. Amen. In Galatians 5, the Bible talks about some of the things that the world has to offer. And we know that those are the works of the flesh. And we talked about those in the last call. Now, also today, 1 John 2:16 says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but these things are of the world. So he already let us know what the risk we're going to be that's out there in the world. So the last place we want to be is out there in the world. That stuff is not of the Father. But if we just stay in the kingdom and we keep following the CEO and we do the things that he has told us to do, all of those worldly things and those evil desires, we don't have to worry about. All we have to do is just follow the plan of the CEO. And we just thank God for that on today. Pastor Nick, did you have a comment in regard to the risk that we sometimes allow ourselves to fall into?
Yes, when we look at that and like with the example of Job, how his life, his life had to stay in place, right? So even with us, it reminds us that if I'm still alive, if I got a brand new day, God has told me, okay, keep going.
That's right.
Because it may be, the walls may feel like they're coming in on me right now, but I'm still alive, so therefore, keep going. And when we talk about the risk of it, when we don't go to a store, most of us don't, some people may try it, and use a competitor's coupon at a different store. If we do, it's because they have a sign up that says we honor all competitors' coupons. Then we're using that. But if they don't have that sign up, and we try to use another store's coupon, and then they say, well, we don't take that coupon here, that's for that other store, we put it back in our pocket. Right? We don't get disappointed because we're where we shouldn't be trying to use something that doesn't apply there. But when it comes to the Word of God in our lives, we want to live in the world and have worldly things going on all around us, and then say, well, why is it not working out for me? Because we're not in the right location. We're not in the right position. We don't have the right posture to have the success that we say we want.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. And that posture that you mentioned, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. Even our caller mentioned being humble in the things, you know, where God has blessed us. You know, the fastest way to get to the top is always on your knees. The one thing that people have to understand is that when you are in leadership, you have to stay humble and you have to stay before God, or you may not stay on that level, you know, just putting it quite frankly. But God has elevated us because he knows that we're going to serve him, that we're going to trust him, that we're going to do the things that we need to do. And that's what we have to remember. You know, we can't get elevated and get the big head. We can't become the pastor and decide, well, I have arrived now, so I don't need to pray anymore. Or I have arrived now, so I don't need to tithe anymore. You know, most pastors understand and know that I'm in this leadership role, and it's a huge responsibility. I'm responsible for praying for all of these people. I'm responsible for these people's souls. I'm responsible for being a leader and leading from the front and leading from the top and being an example. And you may not be a pastor. You may be the manager on your job, or you may be the shift leader in a restaurant, in a fast food restaurant. Whatever the case is, wherever God has placed you, you definitely have to remain humble so that you know, okay, I need God to lead me and to guide me. I can't do this thing by myself. I need the Lord in every way, shape, and form. And Pastor Nick, one of the things that's most important for me today, and we may not get to all of the material, but one of the things that I want to make sure that we cover is for you to do the invitation on today, because there may be somebody listening who does not have God as your CEO. If that is the case, Pastor Nick is going to pray with you, because we need you to know that it's never too late. Amen, Pastor Nick? I'm going to let you go ahead and take it from here.
And it's right now for those that may be listening and have come to the conclusion that you know what, I don't have God in the position that I need to have him in. He is not my CEO. You know, we want you to know that it's not a hopeless situation, that it can be corrected by you simply saying, God, that's what I want.
Yes.
I want to invite your son Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and personal Savior. And I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to live a life worth living.
Yes.
And so for those out there that may be experiencing it, is it okay if I pray with everybody right now?
Amen.
And we'll go into that. Gracious God, our Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, God, for giving us this day and just another opportunity to be alive. We thank you, God, for just giving us your son, Jesus. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you forgive us of our sins, and God, that we can forgive others that have come against us. Now, God, we come right here asking that for those of us that have realized that we don't have you in the correct position that you should be in, Heavenly Father, give us the strength, the ability, the assurance, dear God, that we can place you where you need to be. And once we do that, dear God, that we follow you, that we honor you, that we respect your word, and we carry ourselves in a way that makes you proud in all that we do, so that we can be the shining example of what men and women of God should look like, and that we can do it and do it for real, God, because we love you and we thank you. We honor you and we adore you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of our listeners on today. Pastor Nick, thank you so much for joining us. For my listeners, if you are in the area of Hickman, Kentucky, please stop by Pleasant Hill and see Pastor Nicholas Glenn and his great church. All these people are such loving, warm, welcoming people. I appreciate you all. I haven't been there in a little while, but hello to everyone who is listening. I thank God for you. If you are in the area of Jackson, Mississippi, please stop by the Word Full Gospel Church located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson. And the pastor there is Dr. J.B. Williams. We thank you so much for sharing with us on today. If you'd like to donate to Eve's Corner, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. Or you can click on the donate link on the website. We do pray that God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. And make sure that God is your CEO on today. Thank you all so much for joining us. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Amen.